The Spirit of Covert Hypnosis. What makes veteran hypnotists so good in what they do? What is at the very core of their hypnotic method that allows them to perform amazing hypnotic feats in record time? If you look at all of the great hypnotists in history, you will see that they follow a distinct pattern when they conduct hypnosis. Now, I know for a fact that you might not always have the opportunity to really hypnotize someone in a quiet room, away from all the noise and distractions of daily life. As a conversational hypnotist, you are a hypnotic soldier, bravely battling the uncertainties of the daily interactions that you find yourself in. Despite the obvious difficulties and limitations of conversational hypnosis, you would still benefit greatly from knowing how the pros of hypnosis do it. Believe it or not, what those experts do in front of paying clients or audiences can be learned quickly and applied just as easily. So how do they do it? How do the rock stars of hypnosis achieve such amazing results, even if they are not using any fancy pendulums or complicated hypnotic scripts? The secret of powerful, unstoppable hypnosis is what you do immediately after the induction. As you may already know, hypnotic induction is the next vital step that should be accomplished when you have finally established rapport. Rapport is the first step in any kind of hypnosis, whether covert or otherwise. You need to establish harmony between yourself and your subject before you can perform any kind of hypnotic induction. Many beginners ask me, why is rapport still so important if hypnotic trances are so easy to induce? While it is true that people commonly experience short periods of trance throughout the day, we must remember that we are not really interested in those short, unstable trance states. What you need in order to obtain a good result from a dialogue is a deep and impenetrable hypnotic trance. By impenetrable, I refer to a type of hypnotic trance so focused that the subject stops paying attention to the various internal and external distractions that commonly interrupt us when we are trying really hard to focus on something. Can this deep and impenetrable hypnotic trance be achieved by beginning hypnotists? Yes. That is why I prepared a short summary of all the steps that need to be performed in succession to ensure that your subject will be in a deep trance by the time you are ready to add your hypnotic suggestions. Of course, I have to remind everyone that these steps are usually performed by hypnotherapists and stage hypnotists, so the subjects are aware that they are or will be hypnotized. Don't let this stop you from trying these techniques. While it is true stage hypnotists and clinical hypnotherapists have a slight advantage because they don't have to avoid detection, a person can still go under pretty much as long as the hypnotist is doing his best to perform each step properly. Here are the individual steps needed to create the most powerful hypnotic trance at any time. The first step is the pattern interrupt. A pattern interrupt occurs when a hypnotic subject is unaware that an unexpected stimulus is about to manifest. Each person has a current trance or mental state. For example, it is common for people to think about bills, food, or even romance when they are just zoning out or if they're not doing anything important at the moment. Let's assume that you have already established some degree of rapport with your subject. How do you interrupt his current mindset so he can refocus on you instead? The answer? Do something completely unexpected. This might sound strange, but trust me, it has worked a million times before and it will definitely work for you. A good example of the pattern interrupt is the forehead tap technique. This induction technique is usually used in front of an audience. People who are evaluated as potentially ideal hypnotic subjects are asked to line up in front. The hypnotist will then adopt an aura of authority, and his body language will express this. The hypnotist will then walk back and forth, looking at each person in the eyes, as if he's going to do something. When a person is asked to stand in front of an audience, he will feel at least a little bit anxious because he is exposed to a group of people. This adds to the tension and excitement, and this also helps the hypnotist achieve his goal, instant induction. After pacing back and forth, the hypnotist will then suddenly turn to an unsuspecting subject in the line and tap that person very lightly on the forehead with the top of a microphone. The hypnotist will then intone, "Sleep," as he taps the subject on the forehead. If the subject is hypnotizable and is extremely surprised, he will suddenly fall asleep when he gets tapped on the head with a microphone. It's not the force of the tap that sends the subject to sleep. It's the pattern interrupt that occurs. There was an existing mental pattern when the hypnotist was still pacing back and forth. That pattern was literally interrupted when the hypnotist chose his first hypnotic subject. Another method of disrupting a person's current trance state is by stacking multiple bits of information so that the subject's conscious mind becomes overburdened and finally quits trying to analyze everything that you are saying. After you have performed a basic induction on your subject, you can begin overloading and confusing his critical factor by relating multiple stories to him. Each story will be connected to each other through minor details. The more stories you connect to each other, the more overloaded your subject becomes. It does not really matter if your subject forgets the specific details because those details are insignificant. The really significant details will be given later on when you conclude your stories in reverse. The conclusions or endings of your stories will actually be cleverly disguised hypnotic suggestions. Later on, we will be expanding upon this discussion so you will know exactly how to create and relate hypnotic stories or metaphors with ease to your subjects. It might sound a little confusing now, but trust me, it really isn't that difficult to do, especially if your subject is already in trance. Second, after the primary induction has been completed, the hypnotist must then deepen the induction. In the context of regular hypnotherapy, the deepening phase is characterized by repeated suggestions to sleep and feel heavy. These are two of the most common themes used in induction and deepenings. If you were talking to someone out in the street or over the phone, how can you perform a deepening of the subject's hypnotic trance? Well, you can't tell your subject to sleep or feel heavy unless he knows he is being hypnotized. So the best way to further reduce the chances of mental resistance is by conveying the feeling of heaviness and relaxation by modifying your tonality. If you don't want your subject to feel sleepy or relaxed when you are talking, you can perform the opposite. Change your tonality to elicit excitement and energy from your subject. As long as your subject is in trance and is intently focused on what you are saying, you are going to be just fine. Another excellent way to deepen a trance is by creating special statements that invoke heaviness and sleep. By dropping random words that are associated with sleep and relaxation, the subject's subconscious mind will be able to pick up these hypnotic suggestions, and soon enough, your subject is going to feel just a tad bit tired and sleepy. Again, do this only if you really want your subject to be extra relaxed while you are still interacting with him. Third, once the hypnotic trance is deep enough, and the hypnotist is absolutely sure that the subject is completely focused on him alone, the hypnotist will then proceed to implant the hypnotic suggestions. Hypnotic suggestions can be expressed directly or indirectly. Example, through stories or metaphors. Now, it is very important that you determine some things before formulating your hypnotic suggestions. You see, hypnosis cannot bend another person's free will. A person who is in a deep state of hypnosis will still refuse to do things that go against his deepest and most tightly held beliefs. So it would be best to make sure that all of your hypnotic suggestions are in tune with the subject's own values. For example, if your hypnotic suggestion is about sexual liberation and your subject is a firm believer of celibacy, there's a big chance that your subject will still reject the idea because it goes against what he strongly believes in. In order for a person to accept something that might be a bit too radical or different, there is a need for preconditioning or priming. You need to perform a drastic reorientation of reality so that even for a brief moment in time, the subject would be able to see the issue or object from your point of view. Fourth, once the hypnotist is done implanting his messages in the subject's subconscious mind, he then has to perform one last step, triggering amnesia. Amnesia, or forgetting, allows the hypnotist to wipe the subject's conscious mind clean. This prevents the subject's critical factor from overanalyzing the dialogue or interaction. Do not think for a moment that amnesia will undo all of the hard work that you had put into the interaction. Think about it as an added layer of protection for your hypnotic messages. Your hypnotic messages are like seeds that have to take root in your subject's subconscious mind. If the hypnotic messages or seeds are swept away by the critical factor or the conscious mind before they are able to take root, your message won't be able to flourish inside the subject's mind. So instead of risking your hypnotic messages, it is best to just command the subject to forget everything. Don't worry. When a person experiences amnesia after a hypnosis session, all of the important details are safely stored in the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind will begin sifting through the information after the hypnosis session, and this is the time that it will be able to understand and apply the hypnotic messages that you have left. Adopting the master hypnotist's mindset. In order to be truly successful, a conversational hypnotist must adopt the right kind of attitude and mindset that will allow him to be flexible and adept in applying the various hypnotic techniques out in the open. Not having the right mindset will definitely affect a hypnotist's results. Knowing the techniques is one thing, but you definitely need the right mindset in order to use the specialized knowledge effectively. Any person can read a book about hypnosis, but not everyone can become an effective conversational hypnotist. Not only does hypnosis require special knowledge and skill, it also requires passion and dedication because, let's face it, it will take some time before you are able to apply the techniques naturally and without any hesitation. Here are the special guidelines that will help you create the perfect attitude and mentality towards hypnosis and the people that you will be influencing and persuading through conversational hypnosis. The first trait that I would like you to develop as a conversational hypnotist is tolerance. The word tolerate is defined as to allow to be or to be done without prohibition, hindrance, or contradiction. The basic definition of the word tolerate sums up the core of this trait. In order to become an effective hypnotist and communicator, you must develop a natural tolerance for everyone that you meet. You must be tolerant of other people's values, beliefs, religion, morality, codes, ethos, ethics, appearance, etc. In short, you need to be that person who stands out over everyone else because of your innate ability to accept people as they are. This particular requirement might sound a little extreme to some people because we've been brought up believing that we are entitled to our opinions and beliefs, and we are also free to accept or reject people that we meet in life. I am not asking you to let people into your home. I am not asking you to give your wallet to the next homeless person you see on the street. But what I am asking you is to set aside all of your preconceived notions about people so you can really begin to listen and understand them when you interact with others. Tolerance is the perfect antidote in today's world because in our ultra-modern civilization, people have become so divided based on very superficial attributes. Let's take body shape as a good example of these uncontrollable divisions in society. When an overweight or obese person walks into a gym for the first time, other members of the gym might not feel very comfortable seeing this person exercise because he looks different and obviously he won't be as agile or as strong as the others. Mentally, people around this person will be banding together as a unit because of some superficial differences. People might not reject the overweight individual outright, but in the privacy of their minds, they have already made up their minds about this person, even if they have never really interacted with him. My point here is that if you want to really apply the complex strategies needed to break down resistance during interactions, you need to let go of the various mental lenses that we usually use when we interact with others. These lenses prevent hypnotists from making an objective analysis of any interaction. The second trait that I would like to share with you is respect. Respect, like tolerance, is another effective antidote that will enable you to become a better hypnotist. Why? Because when you automatically respect people around you, even if you've never met them, your verbal, vocal, and nonverbal channels will express this fact. It is far easier to establish rapport with a hypnotic subject if you just respect him for being there with you. Of course, you are free to expand your concept of respect depending on the situation and the requirements of the situation. But there should always be a baseline. You must respect others so that hostility and other negative emotions will never take root in your mind. Because once these negative emotions form in your mind, you will become preoccupied with these emotions and eventually they will prevent you from expressing yourself intelligently. When you are secretly hostile or angry with another person, that negativity will find a way to manifest in your words and actions. There are ways to mask what you feel, but it would be far simpler to just train yourself to set aside your personal opinions to get the job done more efficiently. The next trait that you must develop is having a critical mind. By critical, I don't mean negative or insulting. A good definition of critical would be exercising or involving careful judgment or judicious evaluation. Take note of the words careful judgment. An effective hypnotist is not easily carried away by the subject's own feedback. Feedback from your subject is meant to be studied carefully and utilized for your benefit. If you allow your subject's feedback to influence the trajectory of your work as a conversational hypnotist, then you won't be able to create the outcomes that you want. Another reason why you have to be critical is because your subjects are also capable of creating fake realities. So instead of influencing your subject, you might end up being influenced yourself. You do not have to reject your subject's feedback in order to protect your position as the hypnotist influencer. You simply have to ensure that your version of reality will dominate during the interaction and not the other way around. The next trait that will further develop your success is confidence. What does confidence mean in the context of conversational hypnosis? In order to be truly confident, you have to achieve the following. A. Achieve calmness and tranquility of mind in any situation, whether that situation is negative or positive. You must never allow your emotions to stand in the way of clear and decisive thinking. You must recognize that your personal power works internally and externally. If you can influence others and take control of conversations and other social interactions, then it also follows that you have strong control of your thoughts and emotions. Tranquility within will definitely reflect in your words and actions. B. Truly believe that you are more than capable of doing things that you set your mind to, and that you are also capable of accomplishing great feats with your new knowledge and skills. Acknowledge the fact that you are growing and improving every single day, and this adds to your credibility and authority too. You must not allow others to dictate your capacity and abilities. You are the best judge of that and no one else. C. Learn to actively listen to your subjects. Many conversational hypnotists think that just because they know a lot about language and hypnosis, they also have to be the center of a conversation. Little do beginning hypnotists know that the more they talk, the more they distance themselves from the real star of the interaction, their subjects. If you really want to understand what your subject wants, you need to interact with your subject in such a way that you will gain even more information. Of course, you would still have to talk and share your own thoughts and ideas with your subject. But that is just a small part of the overall effort required to facilitate the process of influencing and persuading another person through conversational hypnosis. Without adequate feedback, you won't be able to adapt to your subject's way of thinking. D. Learn to endure, no matter what. This might sound strange, especially if you take into consideration that our course is essentially a long lecture about language and meaning. But the ability to endure is a key facet of a confident hypnotist. If you know how to endure, you will not give up easily. As long as there is still something that you can do to obtain a good result, you will continue interacting until the target outcome finally manifests. The next important trait that every hypnotist should be aware of is the ability to break rapport. I am aware that I have been championing rapport throughout the book as the most essential step in hypnosis. However, there will be times when you will have to break off an interaction or conversation because you are not getting the kind of results that you expected. Instead of spending more time and energy on an interaction that will obviously not bring you good outcomes, it would be best to simply break rapport with the other person. You do not have to be rude or brash to break rapport. You can do it gently, without really offending the other person. For example, if you think you really need to attend to other matters, you can gently break rapport by changing your tonality, such as from humorous to serious, and by shortening your responses to the point that the other person is no longer able to continue with the conversation. This might sound a little mean, but trust me, you must have full control of the situation at all times. If you do not have full control, and you are unable to break rapport even if you have to step out of the conversation, then how will you influence or persuade others? Breaking rapport is an important tool in a hypnotist's arsenal. It will allow you to protect yourself from situations where you have nothing to gain. And finally, you have to learn how to use hypnosis on yourself. As you already know, hypnosis can be used for a variety of purposes. Use it on yourself to perfect your method and to achieve things for yourself that would have otherwise been very difficult without the benefit of the trance state. You don't have to create hypnotic scripts yourself. There are many good hypnosis products out in the market, and they all follow the same basic patterns and strategies. Do not be afraid to use hypnosis yourself to achieve personal betterment. Psychology of covert control. A lot of factors come together to create the perfect environment for covert control. Being able to influence others without appearing to do so is an accomplishment in itself, because that means you were able to bypass your subject's critical factor, and you were also able to sidestep the common mental defenses used by people to reject input from others. Conversational hypnotists are known for being able to turn the smallest slivers of opportunity into doors that lead directly to desired outcomes. In this part of the book, I want to show you the invisible openings that you can use to further expand your ability to take control of social interactions and influence people. Many beginning hypnotists feel that the task of persuading others is just too big to handle alone. Unfortunately, there is no other way to do it. You can't bring in someone to influence an audience for you. If you do that, he would be the one gaining the respect and trust of your audience, not you. So in the end, you would still be better off practicing these techniques and using them yourself. The good news is that you can always modify your techniques if they are not working for you. Hypnosis works on the principle of application and adaptation. Apply it, and then change the elements that do not work. There is nothing wrong with hypnosis per se. It just so happens that not every language pattern or hypnotic strategy will work on every person that you have to interact with. For example, some people are naturally analytical. These folks would be difficult to pull under an instant trance. So what do? You try to overload their critical faculty so that you can get your message across more easily. You adapt to the needs of the situation so you can get the perfect outcome. The more you work on the methods that you know now, the better your results in the future. But if you do not even try to apply the methods that you have already learned from this course and from other resources, you will not advance and grow as a conversational hypnotist. If you are ready to further expand your knowledge of covert control, I have prepared for you another set of essential guidelines. These guidelines have been synthesized from a large number of resources like studies in influence and social psychology. Use this information to liberate yourself from outdated notions regarding control and influence and to advance your knowledge of conversational hypnosis too. 1. We now know for a fact that the number one drive in group settings is acknowledgement. Before acceptance can take place, one must first be acknowledged by group members. The same kind of pressure to be accepted is also present when a subject is extremely interested in another person for whatever reason. How can you take advantage of this fact? Easy. Feign disinterest. You might be wondering why in the world should a conversational hypnotist feign disinterest if a subject is already extremely interested? The reason is really quite simple. We want the subject to become really engrossed in the idea that he has to be acknowledged. The need for acknowledgement is an irrational and instinctual impulse. It can only be rationalized. It has no logical basis. So when you feign disinterest, an already interested subject will suddenly feel that he has to do something to be noticed by you. Of course, the fake disinterest is only temporary. When you think your subject has reached his peak of anticipation and excitement, that would be the time to act. When you finally reach out and acknowledge your already excitable subject, you won't have to work so hard to influence him anymore because when you feigned disinterest, your subject automatically entered a trance state. His trance state was focused on just one thing, you. Will this technique work all the time? Of course not. If your subject is not interested at all in you or in what you have to say, feigning disinterest will have absolutely no effect. In fact, it might even cause some negativity because the subject might perceive you as brash or rude because you are not paying attention. It's different when the subject is already in trance. The object of attention, in this case you, will never be at fault. You will become the goal and acknowledgement will become the reward. 2. In order to shorten the period of time needed to convince someone to acquiesce to what you want, it would be extremely helpful if you became adept in creating indirect commands. Indirect commands are cleverly disguised directives that are usually placed at the beginning of a statement. Here's an example. Let us say you were looking around for a secondhand car because you suddenly became interested in restoring old vehicles. You find a good used car store, but you do not want to pay too much for an old car. The salesman approaches you and tries to make an offer that you think is too high. What can you say to your subject that will indirectly guide him to a more favorable offer? You can say something like, "I might possibly be interested in buying an old Toyota minus $300 from you. Any color will do." If we analyze the sample statement that I've just given you, you'll see that it has three very distinct parts. The first part creates expectation. I might possibly be interested in buying an old Toyota. The second part is the disguised directive. Minus $300 from you. And finally, the third element is used to create selective amnesia. Any color will do. The third element distracts the subject from dwelling on the fact that you asked for a $300 discount for the old car. You can continue giving the subject disguised directives until such time that you finally get a more favorable offer. 3. Is it possible to create hypnotic anchors when you are just having a normal conversation with another person? Yes. Anchors are actually one of the more underrated tools in NLP and hypnosis because it is not frequently used, and it is not really applicable if you do not understand how it actually works. The beautiful thing about hypnotic anchors is that they can be deployed immediately, and their impact on the subject can be immense. Let's start with the basics. How do you create an anchor while talking to another person? The key to instant hypnotic anchors is using descriptive words. For example, let us say you want your coworker to go out on a date with you. You desperately want to bring your coworker to this great new Indian restaurant that you've read about on the internet. Your coworker is slightly used to the idea of having you around, so you don't want to ruin the moment by being turned down. How can you influence the subject without really telling her that you want to go out on a dinner date? You can use statements like, "Hey, I remember when I was a teenager, my mom used to make the sumptuous, mouth-watering Indian dishes at home. I miss the food so much, it makes my stomach grumble when I think about it." There are four key words in the sample statement that will create the anchor for you. Sumptuous, mouth-watering, stomach, and grumble. All four terms are intimately connected with the idea of being hungry and satiating that hunger by eating food. As you can see, you don't have to be extremely elegant when you are creating hypnotic anchors. What is really important is that you create anchors that will summon striking mental representations. Now, an anchor will not be complete without a trigger. A trigger can be a smile, word, gesture, or even a touch on the arm or hand. Choose your trigger and set the trigger when you enunciate the hypnotic anchor. Once the anchor is set, you can test the anchor over and over during the course of the conversation to see if the subject will give off an observable response to it. If you think the anchor is working, feel free to make more obvious suggestions about a dinner date. Of course, this technique can be used for more than just situations where you need someone to accompany you to a new restaurant. Just remember the basic flow of this technique and make sure that you always use related anchoring words to create the fastest and most memorable impact on the subject. 4. Is it possible for a conversational hypnotist to gain deeper insight about another person, even if the person is only an acquaintance or someone the hypnotist has never really met before? The answer, surprisingly, is yes. You can gain access not only to important insights, but also secrets. This can be done through a gradual process that utilizes the principle of reciprocity and hypnotic anchoring. Basically, what you are going to do is to first create an anchor that will encourage the subject to be open and honest with you. After creating the anchor, you have to test the anchor a few times before you start asking the really important questions. In the beginning, you have to establish rapport, and to do that, you have to make your subject as comfortable as possible. Your subject will trust you if you are willing to be open about your life or dealings as well. Once the subject is willing to share details of his life or work, you can begin asking general questions that revolve around the specific questions that you really want to ask. For example, if you are talking to a new client who might be interested in shifting to your company, you can ask him something like, "Have you ever transitioned to something else because you weren't happy with what you were using before?" The question sounds innocent enough, but it is adequate to precondition the subject. You can continue this line of questioning until you get all the information that you need from your subject. Mastering appearances and mental illusions. Human communication works because we are able to convey meaning to others. When a speaker expresses something to a listener, the listener takes that information and decodes it to make sense of what the speaker is saying. There is always some degree of distortion, but this distortion can be minimized by following the basic principles of good communication. The real challenge is utilizing the various methods that will allow you to manipulate or control how the subject is thinking during the social interaction. The prospect of controlling someone's mind might seem odd to many people, but let me clarify what I meant. Before you can become an effective conversational hypnotist, you must develop an innate skill in creating mental illusions. Mental illusions allow you to create alternate realities for your subject. The fact of the matter is that people rarely stop to think hard before making decisions. It's not so much that people are ignorant or incompetent. This tendency to avoid overanalyzing is intrinsically linked to our instinctual makeup. The average human has very limited cognitive resources. We get tired easily when we think. So in order to preserve our cognitive resources, we opt for a more convenient way to understand the world, through cross-referencing of stored memories and life experiences. Now this is where it gets really exciting for the conversational hypnotist. You see, every person has his own store of acceptable and unacceptable ideas. For example, 99% of the time, a person out on the street will say that it is acceptable for a person to donate to less fortunate individuals, but it is unacceptable for the same person to steal money or anything of value even if he is broke and in debt. There are predictable patterns of thinking that permeate the mind of the majority of the population. With this in mind, you can easily see how mental illusions and artificial appearances can aid the conversational hypnotist in his quest for influence. If you can zero in on specific ideas, images, and beliefs that are considered very acceptable by the majority, you can use these ideas and images to gain compliance from your subjects. It doesn't matter if all you're providing during the interaction are mere ideas and images. What matters is that the subject's mind will be accepting all of these inputs without question. By making use of mental illusions, you have a powerful way to bypass even the most stringent of critical factors. So now that you know why it is important to utilize mental illusions and artificial appearances, let's get down to business. How can you use these things to your advantage? The first thing that you should always keep in mind when you are dealing with different kinds of people is the performance principle. The performance principle states that whenever we enter transactions with other people, we perform specific roles. These roles can be official, recognized, or implied. Whatever category you choose, you must always remember that you can modify the role that you are performing depending on the peculiar requirements of the situation. For example, you might be just a regular office worker. But if you are in the presence of someone that you find very attractive and appealing, you don't have to stick to the plain role that you have been given in the office. You can magnify certain aspects of your job to create a completely new appearance and persona. By doing this, you will automatically be lending yourself personal power. When you lend yourself personal power, you can change the way you project your social status and way of life, too. These are all very important elements that people pay attention to when they are interacting with others for the first time. So if you are set to impress someone, be sure to give the subject reasons to be impressed. And we're not just talking about your salary and your expensive suits. We are talking about the different aspects of your personality as well. These aspects have to shine too. The only way that this is going to happen is if you are going to carefully modify your public projection or appearance, so that you can start creating strategic mental illusions for your subject. Now, whether your subject will adopt these mental illusions or not depends wholly on the level of rapport you have with the subject and how aligned the mental illusions are to the subject's own beliefs and morality. Again, I have to emphasize that if you suggest something that goes against the person's morality or core beliefs, your suggestions and mental illusions will be rejected outright. So if you're planning to suggest something extreme, you need to condition your subject repeatedly over a long period of time before you are going to get any compliance from your subject. The next illusion principle that I would like to share with you is instant inspiration. Inspiration is defined as the action or power of moving the intellect or emotions. Humans are known for being irrational, excitable beings, so much so that countless leaders throughout the history of human civilization have used this particular tendency to get what they want. All of those great or infamous leaders had one thing in common. They really knew how to inspire the masses. Now, I am not saying that you should start idolizing questionable individuals like Hitler, but one can't deny how powerful these individuals were in terms of gaining the support of large numbers of people. So how did they do it? Their secret is actually inspiration. These infamous or famous political leaders were able to combine expectation, hope, and inspiration in one neat and reproducible package. They were both the scourge and the cure to the people. They represented the masses' deepest insecurities and highest hopes. In short, these leaders were able to penetrate the common psyche of the masses, and they used that precious resource to gain compliance by inspiring supporters to just take action, even without any critical thinking. To be able to inspire others is a rare gift. Some people were just born with the knack for it. But again, it does not mean that you will not be able to do it just because the idea of inspiring others before trying to influence them never occurred to you before. So how can you inspire another person to believe in you and then take the desired action? The key here is to find out about your subject's deepest and most secret of desires. Now, I know that it would be extremely difficult to get that kind of information from subjects, but let me tell you this. Once a person starts thinking about something, eventually he slips, and the subconscious mind just starts spouting things either directly or indirectly. You just have to keep asking the right questions under a common theme to make the subject progressively comfortable in talking about more private desires with you. It might take time, but once you have gathered sufficient information about what the subject really wants, you can use that information to make your offer more tantalizing and desirable. Trust me. When you are finally out there trying this technique, you might be surprised how easily some people share their innermost thoughts after sufficient mental preconditioning. Let's talk about something that hypnotists rarely discuss themselves: seduction. Seduction, or the subtle art of enticement, has been the subject of countless novels and books throughout history. We are fascinated with the idea, and at the same time, we are repelled by it because common morality forbids the idea of instant intimacy. Now, let me make it clear that I am not here to support any particular cause related to romance or sexual activity. I brought up this topic because you can apply the principles of seduction to different social interactions. There are so many things that you can learn from master seducers. Here are some of the more useful lessons that you can apply as a conversational hypnotist. 1. How you break a person's current trance is important. Once the subject's trance is broken, he will refocus his attention to you. What do you have to offer? Make sure that you are prepared to carry out a stimulating conversation once your subject has acknowledged you. People appreciate it when they are approached by intelligent and sensible individuals. Create the illusion that you are what they seek, and you will be rewarded greatly by the interaction. 2. People have certain negative preconceptions about other people. It is your job to dispel these notions immediately. Do not wait for the person to ask you about your intentions and plans. Learn to demonstrate your good intentions to make the most out of the interaction. If the subject has to ask you about what you are really trying to accomplish, then you are not able to show the subject your intentions. It is one thing to hint that you are someone that the subject can trust. It is a completely different thing to demonstrate that through words and action. 3. When your subject confronts you and questions you about your intentions, denial is your number one defense. After denying, you must then reverse the situation so that any negative weight will be shifted to the subject. The subject, who then finds himself at a very odd position in relation to you, will attempt to defend himself by rationalizing why he has confronted you in the first place. Through the principle of consistency, the subject will then attempt to make it up to you by being friendlier and more open. 4. A bit of hesitation when answering is always a good thing. This makes the subject more eager to prove himself to you, even if you are really the one who is eager to make a good connection with the subject. By playing the role of the vulnerable one, your subject will feel that he has to make you feel comfortable during the interaction, and this drastically improves your chances of gaining compliance from the subject in the end. Conclusion. To call this a conclusion on the subject of conversational hypnosis in general would be a huge understatement. As far as this particular teaching goes, however, this is where we will conclude. The reason we are concluding at this point is because what you've learned needs to be put into practice and absorbed at this point. If I were to continue teaching you without you taking the time to study and beginning to execute these techniques, that would be a disservice to you. Remember the five critical factors that I mentioned in the beginning of the program that must be present in order for this information to serve you? The one I called the U-ARMS model? U is understandability. A is acceptability. R, relatability. M, manageability. And S, sustainability. Well, concluding here before moving on is going to keep us linear with this model, so that you can actually master this information and use it to enhance your life experiences. Take this time to begin practicing all of the techniques we covered until you begin to feel comfortable with them. If you'd like to expand your level of knowledge on conversational hypnosis, please check out the Advanced Conversational Hypnosis Code. More information on that can be found at conversationalhypnosiscode.com/advanced-special-offer. Until next time, I wish you the very best, and I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to connect with you. Paul Masetta.